Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, on this very special day, we lift up our prayers, our adoration, and our gratitude, our thanks, and our love to you. We thank you that we live in a very special corner of the world, free of wars, plagues, weather, and all the ills that attack your world, many of them, most of them, all of them, our own creation. Oh Lord, forgive us and be with us as we gather today to celebrate your great gift to us, your Son, Jesus Christ, as told in your book, your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture for today is from Luke, the doctor, the second chapter of Luke, the first seven verses. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house of David, the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest rooms. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, Merry Christmas, everyone. It is so good to see you all on Christmas Day, a warm Christmas day here in Southern California. Not surprised. My daughter was up here a minute ago sharing that she already opened her presents. What she didn't share was that she was awake at 6 a.m., ready to go, and we were able to knock them all out before church began. For those of you who were here last night for the Christmas Eve service, you saw something I love, which was all of the generations in here together. There were kids and youth and babies and adults. I just think it's so special when we can gather together for worship like this. You know, when I was growing up, my family had a tradition that on Christmas Eve, me and my older sister and my two little brothers would all sleep in the same room on Christmas Eve night, on the floor, on the beds, wherever we could find space. And then, on Christmas morning, we had to wait in that room until we heard the Christmas music start playing. That was our cue that we could come running out to open all of our presents. There was nothing like that feeling of coming down the hall, seeing the tree lit up and the stockings full, presents all over the floor, the cookies for Santa gone, eaten. We would take our time watching each other open presents. And then my mom would make the most incredible Christmas brunch with sausage balls and chocolate bread. And I loved it because we all got to experience the Christmas wonder together at the same time as a family. This kind of reminds me of that. Church kind of reminds me of that, with all of the different ages gathering together at the same time. And let me just say here at the start, I know we only have a few kids here today, but crying is okay today. A little chatter from the kids, not a big deal. It is Christmas morning, and we are here together, and I think a little bit of jittery excitement is completely appropriate. Okay, so I told you about my Christmas morning tradition. What I didn't tell you is that my dad was a pastor too. He still is to this day, and he's been at the same church for over 30 years, which is awesome. But as a pastor's kid, there was nothing worse than Christmas falling on a Sunday. Raise your hand if it was hard to get here this morning. Yeah, you don't have to admit it, but I know for me, it was definitely hard as a kid. We would wake up and be so excited about Christmas, but the rule in our house was, we got to look in our stockings, we got to open our presents from Santa, but everything else had to wait until after church. So after Santa presents, we would scarf down a quick snack, not even breakfast, like a granola bar. You know, we'd save the real Christmas breakfast for after church. And we'd get it dressed up in our Sunday best, complaining about that tight top button and the uncomfortable shoes. My youngest brother would inevitably misplace his shoes. My dad would be going over his notes and rushing out the door. My mom would be doing 1,000 things to get all 4 of us kids ready for church on time, and then realize she still had to get herself ready. It was absolute chaos in the Mariquin household. Now, some of you are watching online right now, sitting back on your sofa, maybe sipping some hot cocoa, thinking, yeah, I know how to pick my battles. So the funniest part was, after all that chaos, you know, trying to get to church on time, we'd finally get to church, my dad would be up front preaching, my mom would be in the choir loft singing, my siblings and I, well-trained, would be sitting in the pew closest to the choir loft, and after all that chaos, we'd take a deep breath, and we'd sing Silent Night. All is calm, all is bright, brushing teeth did not start a fight. There was a tension there between the picturesque, peaceful nativity scene and my lived reality of Christmas morning. Does anyone else feel that? Some days, yeah. So, any kids out there, I just want to encourage you. I totally understand how you're feeling right now. I hope you can worship today by singing and listening and being with your church family, and also by coloring and by playing with the gifts that you just received under the tree. And parents, feel free to utilize that space in the back or in the pews, in the narthex, however you feel comfortable. Now, I love the Christmas story, and I love the traditional nativity scene. There is something so holy and precious about it to me. It doesn't feel like Christmas without those classic images of the outskirts of Bethlehem. But at the same time, I wonder if our traditions and our artistic representations of that first Christmas morning are really accurate. There's a theory out there that Jesus wasn't actually born in a barn or a stable or a cave at all, but rather a house. Ancient Jewish culture placed immense value on hospitality, and if Bethlehem was the home of Joseph's ancestors, he surely would have had relatives there who would take in an expectant mother. So if we look back at those verses from Luke 2 again, it says, Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to register for the census. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver a child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place in the guest room. Some of your Bibles might say there was no place in the inn, and I'm sure every Christmas pageant you've ever seen has said something about the inn. But the Greek word there isn't translated as inn anywhere else in the Bible. There's actually a different word for inn used in places like the Good Samaritan story that you might know, where the Good Samaritan brings the man who was robbed to an inn and ask them to take care of him, and he'll cover the cost. But this word, hearing Luke chapter 2, is only used 2 other times in the whole Bible, and both are when Jesus is referring to the upper room where he and his disciples would have the Last Supper. It's really more of a guest room than a Motel 6. But there was no room for them in that guest room, perhaps because of the census and all the other relatives coming to town. Or some people got there earlier, and some people were older and sickly and had seniority over young Mary in a culture that held elders in high esteem. So if the upper room, the guest room, was occupied, then that only left the downstairs available for Mary and Joseph. Now, this is one idea of what homes were like back then. Most families would live in a single-room house with a downstairs area for animals to be brought in at night to protect them from the cold or from being stolen. There was often a room in the back for visitors. This would be like the guest room that had no more room. Sometimes there was a space on the roof, this upper room for visitors as well. But typically, the family itself would sleep in the same room as the animals at night, keeping everyone warm and safe. I mean, this is kind of how it felt like for me to squeeze into that one bedroom with my brothers and my sister on Christmas Eve. But that downstairs living area would usually have mangers then where the animals could feed. So, according to this theory, this is quite possibly where the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, found his first bed. Now again, let me reiterate, I am not here to ruin your Christmas traditions. I actually am in favor of keeping the nativity scenes with all the animals gathered around. I mean, what a beautiful image of all of creation awaiting what God is doing. And we can keep the quiet stable on the Christmas cards. There's something to be said for this calm in the middle of the storm. As the Creator God comes down to earth in human flesh, and it mostly goes unnoticed. It's just another day, as far as most of the world is concerned. Something profound there. I'm not interested in correcting people or ruining the Christmas wonder. But I wonder if sometimes we romanticize the Christmas story so much that it gets to the point of feeling disconnected from reality, more of a fairy tale than real life. And I wonder if there's something beautiful and wondrous we could be missing when we miss this idea of the Christ coming right down into our living room. Not set apart in a different holy space, but right here among us, making this space holy. That's Emmanuel, God with us. Now just imagine this scene, okay? Jesus is born in the family room, probably screaming his head off because that's what healthy babies do, Christ child or not, while little cousins stomp around playing upstairs, and Mary, exhausted, tries to figure out this breastfeeding thing for the first time, while Joseph's aunts bustle around trying to help, maybe trying to help a little too much, and one of the uncles is offended now because someone asked him to go to the other room if he's going to talk about politics, and there's animals, and if the animals are there, they're stomping around, maybe nervous from all the activity, and Jesus nonstop crying, and it smells like poop, and they're not sure if that's from the animals or from the baby, and it's dirty, and it's chaotic, and it is real life. God is with us in the chaos as much as he's with us in the calm. The point of Christmas is this. God didn't enter into a sanitized version of our world where all is calm and all is bright, as certain beloved Christmas carols would lead us to believe. He entered into our world with all of its messiness and broken relationships and complex societal issues and natural disasters and questions and doubts and fears about the future. He didn't shy away. He met us right here. He keeps on meeting us here. The reality of God with us would be Jesus' story from his birth through his ministry, preaching to the poor, healing the sick, breaking bread with his friends, and coming to parties. God with us would be Jesus' story all the way to the cross, where God stands with the darkest parts of humanity and even takes our place. And God with us is the promise of Jesus' resurrection on another chaotic morning where his disciples begin to realize their story wasn't over. They were being invited into God's story of redemption and healing for the whole world. God is with us in this world, in this life. I know for some of us, Christmas is a really difficult holiday, actually, and that's okay. God knows your heartache. He is with you in your grief. I know for some of us, this whole last month has just been so busy, nonstop, Christmas parties, recitals, gift shopping, chaos. Now, it might be a good thing to slow down a little, but take heart. God is with us in the chaos. And if you're my daughter, you are just ready to get out of here and go play with your Christmas presents, and God is present in that joy too. Church, you are so loved, and I hope you find comfort in this world-changing reality of God entering our lives so that we can enter his. Amen. I'd like to invite the band up, and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for you, for you coming into our world, for you meeting us where we are, for not shying away, for emptying yourself and joining us here on earth. God, I pray that we would be able to join you in your story, what you're doing to redeem this world, how you're bringing order out of chaos and beauty out of brokenness. God, help us to be the church. In Jesus' name, amen.